Good morning. It's a real treat for me to be up here this morning. I do this. Thanks, Logan. Logan didn't want you to forget he was here. Before I get started this morning, I want to draw your attention to the fact that it's October. Yep. Okay, most of you know that already. The significance is October's been set aside as Pastor Appreciation Month. And so I just wanted to remind everyone of that and let you know that the elders are working on plans for each of the staff. I can tell you that right now what we're doing with Dusty, and actually Dusty and Jess both, there's a retreat down in Georgia that's set aside for lead or senior pastors and full-time marriage ministers. And that's it. That's all they allow to come to this. And it's going to be in a couple of weeks. And so they'll be going down there for Sunday through Thursday for that, a chance to just get re-energized and reinvigorated and everything that's good for them as a family and good for us as a church family. So we're still working on plans for everyone else. But just wanted to remind you so that if you appreciate what they're doing, and from the response I got with the statement a few weeks ago, I know you do, let them know. That goes a long way. All right, so as Dusty told you earlier, we're going to be spending about 3 weeks talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not actually going to talk about the fruit this week. Justin's going to be talking about that next week. As I was preparing, an old saying came to mind. You are what you eat. Uh-oh. We're not going to talk about that too much today. We're going to talk about you are who you are. And there are things that you just can't deny about yourself. And a lot of them you don't really have a lot of control over. I remember back several years ago, we were in a conference at school about Curtis. And Curtis is a good kid. And I told him I was going to do this, so he knew it was coming. I don't even remember what it was about. But I know that one of his teachers was there, and the guidance counselor was there, and one of the principals was there, and Dina and I were there. And the teacher is describing the way Curtis approaches his homework and the way he approaches different things in class. And an example was in math. You know, I assigned 25 problems, and he gets five of them done, and he understands what he's doing, and he says, why do I have to do the rest? It's a waste of time. And talked about how he approached writing a paper or, you know, reading a book or whatever. And I'm sitting there, and I'm starting to get real uncomfortable because she just described me. Exactly. And I didn't teach Curtis those habits or those ways of thinking about homework or class or anything else. It's just in his genetics. Now, Steph and Becca are totally different, so thank goodness. But, I mean, Curtis and I will be talking about something, and it'll drive Dina nuts because we go at it, and she doesn't understand it, but we're just exactly on the same page with the way we look at things. And he doesn't have any control over that. I didn't teach him that. It's just who he is. I think it was when we were camping last weekend. Joanna Kellums was talking about their youngest, Madison, and the way she dances and moves and some different mannerisms she has and how much they're like Kearney Kellums, which is Vic and Casey's oldest. They're cousins. They don't live together. They spend some time together, but how similar they were. It's just in their genes. You know, I look at Chuck and Philip Beyer, and there's not a lot of debating whether, you know, there's any relation there. And Stephen, I mean, look at the beards. There's no question. The boys didn't learn how to do that. It just happened. They didn't have any control over it. And they embrace it. It's part of who they are. You know, in a way, you know, I've noticed with myself the way I parent our kids, the way we discipline and different things and things that I say. And Dina reminds me frequently, you sound just like your dad. And a lot of it's stuff that just drove me nuts. But it's who I am. It's what I know. It's what I grew up around. And it's just that's what put an influence in my life. So today we're going to be talking about the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So if you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And I don't have PowerPoint up there this week, and, you know, there's not a lot of fill in the blanks on the back of the bulletin. You know, I'm not in the habit of doing all those things. So we're going to start in verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. So pull out your Bible or your phone or whatever your preferred method is. I hear pages flipping, so there are still some paper Bibles being used. Some. I'm going to go ahead and start. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful man to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in sinful man. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Little girl and her mom were on their way home from church. Little girl says, Mom, God's big, isn't he? Yeah. And he's bigger than us. Well, yeah. But God lives inside us. Yeah. Well, if God's inside us and he's bigger than us, isn't he going to show through? Well, that's kind of the idea. That's the Holy Spirit living inside us. So what does that Holy Spirit do when it's inside me or inside you? Well, there's several things that were listed in that passage we read. You know, it helps us know what God desires for our life. When we were created, when man was created and Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were totally in tune with God's desire, his will for them, and they lived within that. And then sin came in and separated us from God. And now we have this sinful nature that's part of our lives. And if we don't fight against that, that's what will govern how we live our lives. So the Holy Spirit inside us helps us to know what God's will is for us. It helps me take control of my mind and take control and fight against that sinful nature. It helps me to have a life that has peace in it, because I know that God has a plan. He had a way of salvation to cover this gap, to bridge this gap that sin created. It gives life to my mortal body. It helps me to put to death the misdeeds that would be a part of my life if I don't fight against it. And it testifies to the fact that I am a child of God. Because when the Spirit is in us and we're in tune with that and we're trying to follow its direction, the fruit, the outpouring of that, the actions that we take will demonstrate what our life is based on. You know, this fruit that Justin's going to talk about next week, these actions, these traits that come out of our lives, they're kind of a gauge for me to see in my life, or me to see in somebody else, or somebody else to see in me. If we are in tune with the Spirit, and we are using that power that God gave us, we can't help but demonstrate these traits, because that's how he made us. It just will happen. So how's that happen? In John 16:8, Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." So that Holy Spirit is going to convict us. And this, you know, the image that is common is, you know, in cartoons, you got the little angel sitting on one shoulder and the little devil sitting on the other shoulder. Well, that little angel, that's the Holy Spirit that's inside us, constantly prompting us, convicting us that what we're doing is wrong, or that what we should be doing, helping us to make the right choice. A couple weeks ago, I had my first opportunity to sit on a jury for a trial. First time I'd ever been gotten a questionnaire, summoned, or anything, and I got selected to be on the jury. And we ended up convicting the defendant of the crimes that he was charged with. Now, in that case, we convicted him, but it was a different type of conviction. That conviction was, now the judge will sentence him to some sort of punishment, which is going to be jail. So he will be removed from society so that he can't commit these crimes again, but also so that, you know, as a punishment for committing those crimes. The Holy Spirit's job is not to convict us, to remove us from the situation. It's to convict us that we need to make the right choice. We need to make a different choice, and to help us live in accordance with God's will. So, how do we know that this is the Holy Spirit working in us, not just influence from a friend, or, you know, something we saw on TV, or something we heard on the radio, or Satan convicting us of what we need to do? In Ephesians 6:17, we're told to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Word of God is the Holy Spirit's sword. If we are in the Word, if we are studying, seeking God's will, then we'll know that we're being prompted by the Holy Spirit. And there's lots of different ways to do that. You know, one is being here in church on Sunday morning, being in Sunday school, being in the worship service, hearing the sermon, being in a small group, the lessons that, you know, we study there, either through a, you know, a video base where it's a conversation, or somebody actually teaching a lesson. There's lots of different ways. For me, I've got about a 45-minute drive to work. And for probably the last 5 years, I've been downloading audiobooks and listening to them on my MP3 player in the truck to pass time in the truck. It gives me a brainless thing to do, so I don't have to think about anything. It's entertainment and it helps pass the trip. And about a year ago, I was convicted that I'm wasting an hour and a half a day. And so I started looking for other things to listen to in the truck. Now, I know a lot of people just listen to music. I get really impatient. I flip channels all the time in the truck when I'm listening to music. I like a little bit of everything, and I'm just constantly flipping channels, and so it gets old. So I started looking, and I've got the smartphone, and so I started downloading different podcasts, which are essentially radio programs that are out on the internet that you can download on your phone and then listen to them whenever you want, on your phone, on your iPod, on your whatever. So there's been all kinds of different programs that I download. I save them and I listen to them, and that occupies my time in the truck now. And it's been really neat over this last 9 months or a year, however long it's been, how many things that I've learned or been convicted of or been encouraged by that I've listened to in those that I had no idea was going to be part of this particular program or that program, and things that just really impact something that's going on in my life right now. But there's also been lots of other things that I've heard, and I'll be talking to someone days later or weeks later or whatever, and they'll talk to me about this situation they're in, or you know, something they're struggling with or something they're looking at or whatever. And I'm like, oh, here, I've got this that I just listened to, and here's what they had to say about it. And so it's been, you know, a way for me to share and encourage with other people. So there's lots of creative ways out there to study and be in tune with looking for what God's will is for your life, to make that Holy Spirit active in your personal life on a daily basis. So one last question then. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, can you be a Christian? Can you be a true follower of Christ? There are a lot of people out there that do a lot of great things. And we need to be really careful about that. Because just because someone is doing something good that looks like it's the fruit of the Spirit, someone is kind, generous, whatever, doesn't necessarily mean that that's where their source is. So we have to be really, really careful about that, and that Christ wants and God wants that relationship with us. He wants us to be seeking His will, seeking His guidance, not just going out and doing what's good, what He's taught. You know, His plan for salvation is that we believe and we're baptized. And when we're baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And at that point, the Holy Spirit's living in our lives, in us. And we need to make sure that we tap into that and make that an active part of our life. That part is up to us. He gives us the gift. We have to choose whether we're going to use that gift or not. So at this time this morning, if you need that gift, if you haven't received that gift from Christ yet, I'd offer this time that you could come forward and be baptized, become a Christian. If you're already a Christian and you would like to be place of your membership in this congregation here at Miami Town, we'd welcome you to come forward at this time for that as well. Or if you have something you need prayer for, now would be the time.